And while those are going row by row, let me do my introduction of Roy Todd. If you wanted to Google Roy Todd's name right now, you'd find out that he's an accomplished pianist. And we have had him play his piano for us here at other times. He won't this morning that I'm aware of. He's an evangelist at their church in Loughborough. Yeah, see, I pronounced it right. If you just do it the way you remember he says it, you're fine. But if you look at the spelling, you'll mispronounce it every time. Loughborough. And so they've already had their service this morning, and they just a few weeks ago planted another church in an adjacent community, Leicester. And that church is going to have service here in about 2 hours. And they're seeing people come to faith on a weekly basis as they gather. So Roy and Lydia have traveled quite a bit extensively over the years, and now they're church planters and pioneers, and we get them. We've had them for the last 3 years now, and they're a wonderful gift of God to this church. He's also gifted in healing. They see healing frequently. They were just with our friends up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at New Covenant Church, and they had a weekend service there where some really remarkable healing occurred in the lives of people. And so tonight we're carving out the time at 6 o'clock. I want you to come back for him to minister in the way of healing. This morning he's continuing on in our sermon series on values, and we've given him the topic of outreach. And so please welcome our Northern Ireland friend who makes his home in the UK. This is the other Northern Ireland friend, not, you know, Paul Reed. Paul and Roy have a little competition going on as to who's the most popular and loved here. And so come on up, Roy. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Merle. Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you today. It's wonderful to be here in this nice, quiet season in the life of America. It's wonderful to be here today. And I did hear, I mean, I'm going to have to tell you, I did hear that Paul Reed, my fellow Irish friend, apparently he made a statement that should circumstances permit, he may stand for the presidency next time around. Now, I need to just tell you today, if he stands, I'm standing, right? Because if he were to become your president, America really would be in trouble, okay? So just to bring some truth into the equation, I would stand as well. But honestly, it's great to be here in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And this is our fifth time here in this church. And we just love coming here. We love you people very, very much. We love Merle and Sue. I'm telling you, you've got two wonderful pastors there, don't you? Wonderful people, and we're very blessed to come and serve them, and it's just an absolute privilege to come along and bring some teaching into this aspect of your one of your values in the life of your church, outreach. We'll talk about that in a moment. I would encourage you as well to come down to the meeting tonight, 6 p.m., and we're going to really believe for healings tonight. I'll bring a little bit of ministry from the Bible, and then we'll just get down to business and we'll pray for everything that moves. What about that? Does that sound good? Yes? So, listen, if you know anybody who's in need, or anybody who, you know, it doesn't, they may not even be a believer, bring them anyway, right? And we'll believe for a whole load of salvations and healings and blessings tonight. So it would be really good to see you at 6 p.m. Tonight. Okay, now, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's the verse I'm going to base all my thoughts from this morning. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there it is on the screen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. One of the most important things that every Christian needs to remember when we hear the word gospel is that gospel means good news. Well, cheer up. Gospel means good news. Now, I was obviously brought up in Ireland, and I love my heritage very, very much. I thank God for the privilege of being brought up in a culture where that was kind of Christian and where I was forced to go along to church. Believe me, forced being the operative word as well. And those old Irish preachers, though, they could give it some of the old hellfire. Always talked about hell, never talked about heaven. And there was this one famous preacher over there who was always talking about hell. Never talked about anything else. That was his pet subject, hell. And so he stood up one day and he said to the people in a very gruff, rough North Irish accent, he said to the people in a very threatening way, he said, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And a little lady who was sitting in the audience, she raised her hand and she said, "Pastor, what if you don't have any teeth?" And as quick as a flash, he said, "Teeth will be provided, madam," he said. It was very encouraging, you know. Actually, as gruff and rough as that was, it kind of missed the point. It kind of missed the point because the gospel is good news. And so in a sense, I've got the easy job today because I'm just telling you about good news. It's a wonderful privilege. Every one of us actually have the privilege of being carriers of good news. And if you're going to carry it, you might as well do it with a bit of confidence. If you're going to tell people about Jesus, you might as well do it with a smile on your face. If you're going to tell people about Jesus, you might as well do it with a little bit of hope and a little bit of optimism. And I don't know anything about the politics of America. I know something about the politics of our own country as well. Maybe you can identify, but there ain't a lot of hope around at the moment. But if anybody should be carriers of hope, it should be the people of God. Can you say amen to this? We are the original carriers of hope. We are the hope carriers because we've got the hope of the gospel in our hearts. And I want to really encourage you today, when you're carrying God's good news, to do it with joy, no matter what the circumstances are. So this friend of mine, I've got this friend, and he was traveling in the subway. We call it the underground in London. And if any of you are from New York, I'm pretty sure you'll identify with this. You may be the happiest person on planet Earth. But as soon as you get onto one of those subway trains, you take on a certain demeanor, don't you? Which tends to be... It's just like it happens. You may be happy, but everybody else is like that. So you think, okay. So my friend, who's a Christian man, went, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him in his heart. And the Holy Spirit said, "Hey, John, are you my child?" And John said, "Yeah." So the Holy Spirit said, "Well, I want you to smile." He said, "What do you mean, like deep joy? Because some Christians get deep joy. It's down here. It never manifests up here." "You mean deep joy?" No. The Holy Spirit said, "I want you to physically, literally smile." So that's a tough job when you're sitting in this subway carriage and everybody's... So John did the cheesiest, most cringeworthy... And the man sitting opposite him said, "Excuse me, sir, are you smiling?" And John said, "Yeah, I have." And the guy said, "Well, why? Come and sit beside me. Tell me why you're smiling. What's this joy? Why?" So my friend John went and sat beside him. And he said, "Well, the reason why I'm smiling is because I was just sitting there thinking, hey, I'm a Christian and I've got forgiven and I've got Jesus in my life. And yes, life is not always perfect, but I've got every reason to be joyful and I've got hope. So I thought I'll smile." And the guy was fascinated. So anyway, John was about to get off at his stop, and John's written a little book about Jesus. So he said, "Sir, I've got to get off, but there's a little book I've written. God bless you." He got off the train, never thought anything else of it. 3 weeks later, John's sitting in his office in the north of London, and he gets a phone call through. "The British ambassador's office to a certain European country. I would like to speak to John, please." So John thought, "I don't know any ambassador to any country. Who could this possibly be?" So he picked up the telephone, and the gentleman with a very posh London voice said, "Hello, John, do you remember me?" And John said, "I have no idea who I'm even talking to." And the guy said, "You were the man who sat opposite to me on the tube train the other day, and you were smiling." He must have been the first person in the history of the London Underground to do that. He said, do you remember me? And John said, yes, I do, I do. We had a fascinating conversation, he said. And he said, I need you to know that for the last 3 weeks, my life has been impacted by that conversation. In fact, he said, I've read your book. I've read your book twice. He said, and at the end of your little book, there's a prayer that people can pray if they want to commit their lives to Jesus. He said, and I just wanted to call you because your contact details are in the book. I wanted you to know that I've prayed the prayer and accepted Jesus Christ into my life. Why? Because a little fella smiled. Never underestimate the power of a smile. This is really deep teaching here I'm giving you this morning, isn't it? You'd never get this from Paul Reed, I'm telling you. You get all that sort of super stuff. You're getting real down-to-earth stuff from me. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, this gets really interesting because the scenario that's being used here, the picture that's being painted, is the courtroom scenario. That's essentially what you've got to think when you think about this verse. It's the courtroom scenario. And Jesus is painting the picture of our purpose in his divine purpose, if you like, our role in his divine purpose. He says, you will be my witnesses. Please notice that he doesn't say, you will be my lawyers. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you'll be my lawyers. What's the job of a lawyer? Well, a job of a lawyer is to, one of two things, either to defend or to accuse. That's essentially the role of a lawyer, to defend an accused or to accuse a defendant. But we're not lawyers. Our job is not to convince and persuade. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that we are not called to be lawyers because I don't think I would be a very good lawyer. Anybody else identify with that today? I'd be a terrible lawyer. He didn't say, you'll be my lawyers, so the pressure's off. You don't have to walk around like a walking encyclopedia, knowing and being able to quote the scriptures at any moment, you know, and having all the answers to everybody's questions. No. We're not lawyers, so the pressure's off that one. And I want you to notice as well that Jesus said we are witnesses. He didn't say that you are judges, because this is the courtroom scenario that's being painted, right? So we're not lawyers, but we're not judges either. What's the job of a judge? Well, the judge decides the verdict. The judge decides the sentence. Now, I must be honest with you. There's only one place in the world where I lose my temper. It's when I'm driving. How many of you know that there are some very terrible, and I've noticed this in America as well. I'm gonna pour out my heart to you here today. There are some bad drivers in America. I think that's the biggest issue in America at this moment in time. You know? Let's sort out the bad drivers and we'll get the nation sorted out, all right? I'm generally a pretty calm person until I get into the car. And then I become the most brutal judgmental person in the world. I remember one night, I wasn't going to tell you this, I was going to preach at a church. And I had left a little bit late, so it was my fault. Okay, confession time, repentance time, and all that. But I thought the Holy Spirit gave me permission to just go a little faster than what the speed restrictions say you're meant to go. Who's ever had permission by the Holy Spirit to do that kind of thing? Yep, you've all been there. So I'm going a little faster than what I should be going, and I'm at the last mile before I go to this church where I'm meant to be the preacher. I had a wonderful message, by the way, on the love of God. It was amazing, you know. Angry at every driver. And then I get to the final mile. I'm nearly at the church, and there's this slow driver in front of me, obeying speed limits and all that sort of thing. So I thought, no! And I'm angry. And that mile felt like 10 miles. So I was determined. Now it became like a competition. I've got to overtake this guy before I get to the church. That's my mission in life now. So I overtook the driver in a very foolish manner. Got into my lane, and then about 2 seconds later, indicators on because I got to turn into the church now. And as I turned into the church, I suddenly noticed that the car behind was also turning into the church. I thought, that's not looking good, is it? So I went and I parked at the part in the car park that was furthest away from the church so that they wouldn't recognize me, so that I could commit my sins in private where nobody ever know about it. And so I parked away, far away, and this car just followed me right to where I parked. And then I'd stepped the pastor. I got down on my knees. I repented of my sins. I made sins up and repented of them just to feel right with God. He said, that wasn't very wise. I wanted the ground to swallow me up. I was judgmental. I was foolish. Well, aren't you glad that God hasn't called us to be judges? Because I don't know about you, but if the world was down to me, the world would be in trouble. And if the world was down to Paul Reed, it would be even more trouble, right? He has not called us to be lawyers. He hasn't called us to be judges. He has called us specifically to be witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. What's the job of a witness? Well, a witness in a courtroom scenario gives testimony to what they've seen. That's literally the job of the witness. Not to persuade, not to convince, not to pronounce a verdict, but simply to give testimony to their experience. And that is exactly what your job is and my job is. We are witnesses, and the Holy Spirit takes the evidence of our lives and uses that to speak to the lives of other people as well. I want to encourage you today, you have a story to tell that needs to be heard. In fact, you don't just have one story to tell, you've got many stories to tell of His faithfulness, of His goodness, of His kindness. You say, I don't have a story to tell. Believe me, you have a story to tell because you're here today. You're alive. Are you with me? And you have a story to tell. And we are witnesses of Jesus. Now, let's have a look at this. You will be my witnesses, not judges, not lawyers, witnesses. Now, look at this. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, this is also highly significant because these geographic regions that are mentioned here in this verse, they represent various spheres of life. This is not a coincidence. This is not just random places. It's very, very intentional on Jesus' part that he says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. This is highly significant because, you see, Jerusalem was the place where Jesus was speaking to them from at in that moment in time. It represents your home, your friends, your family, your loved ones. I don't know about you, but how many of you have got unbelievers in your family that you would just love to see saved, right? Maybe somebody here today, and you're at church this morning, and the burden of your heart is that your husband is not here, and you would love your husband to be in church, or your wife, or your child or your grandchild or some relative, and you would just love them to come to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I find of all of the places that are mentioned here, Jerusalem is by far the most difficult place to reach. Family. Because so far as your family is concerned, you're just little so-and-so. It doesn't matter how old you are. If your mother's still around, you're still her little kid. My mother, I'm 40 years old, and my mother still tells me off. She calls me up and rebukes me. She listens to my sermons, and then she says, I like that part, but that part, don't say that again, because that was heresy, she'll say. Are you with me? Family's tough. If you've got unbelieving loved ones, it takes a lot of perseverance and a lot of sowing of seed to see loved ones saved. But Jesus is encouraging us to believe for a breakthrough in family. Jerusalem. Next, he says Judea. Now, Judea was interesting because Judea was the friendly neighbor to Jerusalem. And this represents people who are your friends, your colleagues, the people who are your acquaintances, the people who you go to work with, who maybe naturally in life you wouldn't connect with, but you kind of work together and you kind of get along well with them. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to see your workplace, your friends, your acquaintances, your colleagues, I want you to see them as a mission field. Somebody here today, you're in some kind of job situation and you're praying to the Lord, come on, Lord, get me out of here. I want to get out of here. But actually, I want to really challenge you today that maybe you need to think a little differently about your job situation. And as challenging, as unfulfilling as it may feel to you, be open to the possibility that you're there because God has got you there. And the reason why he's got you there is because this is like your Judea. He's encouraging you to reach your Judea. So Jerusalem, Judea. Next, he says Samaria. Now, Samaria gets really interesting because Samaria was the unfriendly neighbor to both Jerusalem and Judea. They did not like each other. That's what made the story, for example, about the Good Samaritan. When you remember the story that Jesus told? That's what made it unique. Because in the minds of the people in Jerusalem and Judea, there was no such thing as a good Samaritan. Represents the people who are your enemies. Who here today has any enemies? Keep your hand down. That's all of us. Great. Well, I can tell you got one. He's called the devil. That's for sure. All of us have people in our lives who we find a little difficult to connect with, and come on, let's just get real about this. There's always, some people are anointed and some people are annoying. And all of us have those people in our lives and we just struggle with them. Oh, Lord, give me grace. Who's ever prayed that? Give me grace. Give me grace. These people, I'm fine. It's not me. It's never me. It's them. They're the weird ones, not me. Give me grace, Jesus. All of us have people in our lives who we find it very difficult to connect with. Maybe it even goes a lot further than that. And it's not just that you don't connect with them. It's that maybe there's been some hurt along the way or some bitterness along the way. And maybe there's unforgiveness there. And so Jesus is saying, listen, before you'll ever get to the ends of the earth, you got to go to Jerusalem first. And then after that, you got to go to Judea, your acquaintance. And then after that, if you want to reach the world, you got to go to your enemies first. The people you don't really like. This really challenged me a lot of years ago. I'm going to make myself vulnerable. Tell you a little story, something that happened to me that shaped my early ministry. I launched out as an evangelist and life was going good. I was kind of naive. I thought everybody liked me. It's always a mistake to think everybody likes you, isn't it? You're in for a rude awakening at some point to discover that there's somebody who doesn't. And so I was serving as an evangelist, and this guy came to me one day, and he said to me, he was another minister, pastor, he said to me, he said, I don't know why God would ever use you. He said, I don't like you. You'll never amount to anything. He said, and it's just a matter of time before you mess it up, Todd. You know, one of those really encouraging people you meet in life every now and then. You put them in a dark room that develop after a little while. You know, people like that. Well, so this guy, he said this to me. And when he said that to me, at first I did that thing. I said, I can handle this. I can handle this. I can deal with this. I can deal with this. And I breathe, because he hurt me, but I can deal with this. But then what happens is somebody says something a little bit hurtful. You go away. What you do? You think about it, don't you? Come on. You think about it. And then and then you begin to think about all the things you should have said, all the comeback lines. You begin to dream about it, all the comeback lines, the way that you could have cut that person down to size just with one line. And that's exactly what began to happen with me. And I became a bit bitter and angry that this person said this. I was hurt. It fed a little insecurity, and I was hurt. And it began to impact my ministry. My whole ministry became based on the idea of proving this person wrong. I'm going to prove them wrong. I'll prove them out. And that's never a good way to live your life. Anyway, this was in the 1990s. And I got my first ever invite to come out and preach in America. It was up in, I think it was New Jersey. The host said to me, you fly out here and then we'll take care of you when you get out here. So I thought, amazing. And then the next thing, it all came together. I got a little gift through the post of £200, which is about $300, something like that. I thought, this is amazing. Airfare covered. I can go to America. This is great. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, remember that guy who really hurt you and offended you recently? And I said, I'm glad you've remembered. You can go and deal with him now, Lord. Thank you very much. That's great. You and I know he needs it. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to give him half the money that you just received. Huh. Somebody says, well, you know, well, how did you know that was God telling you to do that? Because I wouldn't have told myself to do that. That's why. So, with a heavy heart, I then began to realize what the issue was. It was not the other guy. It was my heart. That was the issue. So I realized, oh, man, you got to deal with your heart. You want to go and tell everybody about Jesus, but you got unforgiveness against somebody else. So I wrote this guy a letter. Dear so-and-so, I love you in Christ. I love you. And you got to be curvy. And here's a little gift for you. Boom. And I thought, well, there's my trip to America gone. I'm going to have to call up the hosts and say I can't make it because I don't have any money. And I literally didn't have any money at that time. I was just penniless. And but I felt good. I felt like good because I'd released something out of my heart. And a few days later, I got a letter through from a church back in Ireland that have always prayed for me and always supported me. And they said, hey, Roy, we were praying for you the other day. And God spoke to us. And God said that we've got to bless you. So here's a little check for you. And I opened up this other envelope because Christians love putting things into envelopes, don't they? Christians keep the envelope business in business. I'm convinced of it. So envelope within the envelope, I open it up. And in there, there's a check. And the check is to the value of about £1,000, maybe $1,400 at that time, something like that. And I quickly put the check in my back pocket in case God spoke to me again, because I wouldn't have wanted that to happen. And he did. He did. And he said, you see, you could have held on to what you had in your hand, or you can have what I have in mine. If you want to reach the world, you got to reach Samaria first. What's Samaria? It's the people you don't like. It's the people you don't particularly like. This is what the miserable prophet in the Old Testament had to learn. You know who I'm talking about? The guy who was cast overboard and thrown into the sea. Jonah. He had to learn to love the people that he thought didn't deserve God's love, the people of Nineveh. You ever notice that God had more problems with one man than what he had with a whole city called Nineveh? As soon as Jonah preached the gospel to Nineveh, they all got saved. They all had sackcloth and ashes on. They thought, oh, we want to fear God. It was God's servant that he had problems with. And I often wonder, is that true of me? I'll personalize it. You can personalize it to yourself. You're going to get the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to come upon you. You're going to be my witnesses now. Let me tell you where you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to do it in your home. You're going to do it in your workplace, to your family and friends. And then I want you to go and reach the people that you don't even like, your enemies. You see, when you do that, the world's yours to the ends of the earth. Kind of random on the face of it. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, hey, the whole world. Kind of sounds random, but it's very intentional on Jesus' part. He's trying to get us to think. And I want to challenge all of us today to be a carrier of good news in your home. Be a good news carrier when you wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, maybe it would be a good practice. Listen, maybe it would be a good practice just to turn the television off for a little while. And just to spend a little bit of time in the presence of Jesus. Yeah, even this week of all weeks. Carry good news in your home. Carry good news in your workplace. Carry good news to your enemies. Let me finish with a verse in the Old Testament that says these words. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I think that's the funniest verse in the Bible. I really do. How beautiful are the feet. You can do things with a face to make it better. And, you know, you can, when you take a photograph on Instagram, you can put a filter. Thank God for filters on Instagram. Who thanks God for them? I mean, I honestly believe the Lord has provided those for his people. You know, Instagram filters. Thank God for them. You can do things with a, you can have plastic surgery. You can do whatever with a face. You can put clothes on the body. But the feet, I haven't seen a decent looking pair of feet yet. They are the least attractive part of the body, and yet the paradox is how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that's your job, to bring good news. Everywhere you go, be a carrier of hope. Everywhere you go this week, no matter what happens, make the decision today, I'm going to be a carrier of God's good news. Share your faith. We got this young guy in our church, and with this, I'm finished. We got this one guy in our church, and he got saved. And I love it when you get new Christians who just are shameless about telling everybody what's just happened to them. Telling everybody. He's on his Facebook, on Twitter. Come on, guys, you got to get along to church. You'd be stupid not to. Telling all his non-Christian friends this. Come on, you're very foolish if you don't go to church. And all his friends are saying, really? Yeah, you got to get to church. And they're saying, okay, where's it at? So they come along to church. So he's witnessed to loads of his friends. One guy who was a kind of a bully to him when he was a younger kid in school. He read one of his Facebook statuses and said, can I come along to your church? And this guy said, yeah, come along. Come along. In fact, you need it. The best way to get revenge on your bullying friends when you is get them saved. That's the best way. Get them tithing. That's the best way to do it. You know what I mean? So that one guy has probably brought 15, 20 people into the life of our church. And they've all got saved. Had a baptism service recently. Place was packed to the doors. Mostly with people who've never been to church before. As this guy stands up and says, Jesus changed my life. Thank God for this church where I could meet with Jesus. And I thank God that Grace Covenant Church is a church where people can meet with Jesus. I love the Jesus-centered focus of the worship. I love the Jesus-centered focus of the preaching. And I know your leaders, and I know that Jesus is the center of everything that we do. And today we are privileged to carry his good news in this great nation, in this great town. I want to really encourage you to carry it with joy, to carry it with delight, to carry it with pleasure. The best is yet to come. Can you say amen to this? The best is yet to come. You've listened amazingly well. I want to really encourage you. Hey, what about bringing somebody along to church with you next Sunday? Eh? As Merle's down there in Uruguay and Chile, and you know he's on the resort reaching people for Jesus. Oh yeah, you know you gotta. As he's turning the jacuzzi up, as he's witnessing the to friends and so on. It's a hard life being in ministry, you know. But I really want to encourage you. Bring somebody along to church next Sunday. Give them the chance. Give them the chance to meet Jesus. Carry good news. And let's see what God will do. You've listened wonderfully well. Will you close your eyes? I'm going to pray for a moment or two. And the keyboard player is just going to come up and just play something worshipfully as we are in the presence of Jesus. Just as we're here in the presence of God, there are two things that I want to say today. Firstly, I'm going to pray for anybody who would like to give their life to Jesus, because I know that there will be people here today. Maybe this is your first time in Grace Covenant Church. Maybe this will be your second time. Maybe you've been coming along for quite some time now, and sure, you pray your prayers, and you read the Bible every now and then, but really, you can't honestly say that you've got a relationship with Jesus. And I want to give you that chance today to come into relationship with Christ. To give your life to Christ. To get your sins forgiven and to make your peace with Jesus. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you. And here's what's going to happen. As our eyes are closed, I'm going to count to the number three. And as soon as I get to that number three, those people who in their hearts are saying, you know what, Roy, I've listened to what you've had to say today, and I would really love to open the doors of my heart and to receive Jesus' forgiveness into my life. I want this good news. I want to receive this good news today into my heart. I want to make my peace with God. I want to leave this place today knowing for sure that I've made my peace with God. I want to follow Jesus. And I know that there are people here today, and that's exactly what you're saying in your heart. Well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to count to three. As soon as I get to three, those who are saying, yep, that's me, I want to respond to this message today, and I want to give my life to Christ. Then as soon as I get to the number three, I want you to raise your hand up, take it down, I'll see it, God will see it. And then I'm going to pray. I'd love to be able to include you in a real simple prayer that I'm going to pray. Nothing difficult, nothing complicated about it. It's a simple prayer. But it's a simple prayer that God will listen to and he will hear and respond to. Here we go. I'm going to count to three. As soon as I get to three, if that's you, you say, yeah, I want to give my life to Christ. Well, then I want you to raise your hand up, take it down. I'll see it. God will see it. Then I'll pray and I'll make sure you're included in it. Here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand high in the air. There's a number of hands. I can see one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. That's eight hands I've seen raised on a Sunday morning service. At least eight people. You can take your hands down. I'm going to pray from the front. I'd like the whole congregation to join me as I pray. But this prayer is especially for those eight people who just raised their hands. I want you to say this prayer and I want you to really mean it. Don't just say it because I'm saying it. Really mean it with all your heart. And by the time you say this prayer, having really meant it, you need to know that God will have heard it. Your sins will be cleansed. Your future will be secure. Pray these words. Everybody, please. The whole congregation, but especially those at least eight people who raised their hands. Say these words. Everybody, please. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross and that he rose again from the dead and that he did it all for me. And today I open the doors of my heart. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. And from this day on, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, come on, let's give those folks a big hand clap. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? Wow. Wow, 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 wow. I counted at least eight people who just raised their hands there to give their lives to Jesus. And hey, listen, I want to do one last thing. We're going to pray tonight specifically for healing, okay? So if you are in need of healing, come along and be with us tonight. We're going to really pray for you. And I've got some stories to tell you of some healings that I have seen over the last few years that I think will encourage your heart. No matter what your need is, come and join us tonight. Let's get into the presence of Jesus. But there's one last thing, and I just felt in this moment that I should do this. We're talking about outreach. We're talking about being carriers of the good news. The idea of evangelizing scares most Christians because most Christians want to be normal, right? The problem is that no normal person has ever changed the world. So I got news for you. You're not called to be normal. You need to get an Irish anointing on you this morning, okay? We are carriers of God's good news. And so I want to pray an anointing on us. And I want to prophesy this over the last couple of days. And I'm going to prophesy it this morning as well. That over this next year, Grace Covenant Church is going to grow. And I mean growth in every way. Growth spiritually, in depth, in relationship. But you're going to grow numerically. Healthy things grow. It's just inevitable. And let's see lots of people coming in and meeting Jesus. We saw eight people saying, yes, I want to accept Jesus this morning. The day is going to come in Grace Covenant Church where it will be just the norm to see 20, 30, 40 people giving their lives to Christ on a typical Sunday morning service. And that's just Sunday mornings. That's not midweek. That's just on a Sunday morning. I'm believing we're going to see a whole lot more of that. So you're in your seat there this morning and you're saying, you know what? I want to be a carrier of this good news. Well, I'm going to give you a chance to get some prayer. Yeah, I want to be a carrier of that good news. I want to carry it with more conviction than ever before. This week of all weeks, I want to be a carrier of hope no matter where I go. I want some of that anointing that that guy's got. Well, here's the deal. I'm going to count to three, and then I want you all to stand up because that means that I'll have 100% response. Because I like 100% responses in my appeals, okay? One, two, three. Come on, let's all stand up. We all want to be carriers of this good news. If you didn't want to be a carrier of this good news, oh, well, I don't know what I can say to you. I don't think that's the heart of one individual in this church. I think we all want to be carriers of God's good news. What a privilege! What a total privilege! Witnesses! Pressure's off. You're not a lawyer. You're not a judge. You're a witness. You got a story to tell. So learn to tell it well. Tell your world. Bring your world. We got this hashtag going on in our church over in England. Bring your world. Everybody needs to hear this. Make it compelling. Do it with faith. Do it with confidence. You got the Holy Spirit. We sang a line of a song a little earlier on about the resurrection. He's risen from the dead. You know, that same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He dwells within you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Not power to live an insular, little blessed life. No, no, no. The whole focus of that power is to reach out to a world that is in desperate need. You will receive power to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Maybe there's somebody that you need to forgive today. Well, just make the decision to do it. Don't build up to it. Don't go away and think about it. And I'll tell you something else. You don't need to pray about it either. You don't need to pray about forgiving anybody. Well, I'll go and pray about it. When a Christian says, I'll pray about it, it's usually Christianese for no. So don't pray about it. Just do it. Just do it. If you want to reach the world, you've got to get that Samaria taken care of. And then we'll reach the world. The nations will come to you. By the signs of things, the nations already are coming to you as well. We want to reach them with the greatest news on the planet. Will you raise your hands high in the air? Come on. With faith, with hope. The King is on His throne, Grace Covenant Church. You need to know that. The King is on His throne. No question over His rule or His reign. And no matter how messed up circumstances may be, whether that's your personal circumstances or circumstances in a town or even a nation or the nations, all you need to know is that the King is on His throne. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Creator of the heavens, the Creator of the earth. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Swing wide, you everlasting doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of Glory. Father, I pray an anointing on every person standing in this room today, that we, all of us, would be carriers of good news. That every single one of us would have beautiful feet. That every single one of us would have the confidence to go and tell our world about you. You're too good for us to keep to ourselves. It's well and good for us to say that God is good. Let me tell you how good He is, my friend. He's so good that you can't keep Him to yourself. You got to tell people about Him. I'm embarrassed. So what? You got the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You'll receive power. And then you'll go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and you'll tell the world about me. Father, I pray that we would have a greater conviction than ever before that your heart is for lost people. Help us to reach lost people. You love lost people. And I pray that this would be a church like a fishing boat, where week after week after week we're seeing the net filled with new fish. Every single week, new fish. And then when they come in, then we'll do the work of discipleship and we'll teach them and we'll mentor them and we'll help them. Give us so many new people that everybody who's standing here today will have twice the amount of work to do that they're currently doing with discipleship and life groups, connect, whatever you call them, small groups. I pray that you will draw in the harvest and we will reap a great harvest. And at the end of it, when all is said, when all is done, one name and one name only will get all the praise, all the thanks, all the glory, all the honor, for it. His name is Jesus. Now I'm going to count to three one last time, and then I want you to give our God the biggest clap of praise you can possibly do. Are you ready for this? Come on, let's do it like with real confidence and conviction. Let's do it joyfully as well. He's worthy of it. Are you ready? Come on. One, two, three. Come on, let's give him our praise. Yeah.